But we know it's true. We know that is true. And it's what we were talking about earlier, JP, about what happens to everybody. They start on a level where you are, Tim, wanting to do something good for their state. Pretty soon they get to Washington. And what happens? Are the games so severe that either you get out or you play the game? How can they all just go crazy once they get there?
And I keep rooting for the what they call the Tea Party contingent of Congress that's hanging tough and everybody's criticizing them. And I'm saying, hang in there, guys. Mm-hmm. This is what we sent you there for, to fight this baloney.
And what do you think, Tim?
Well, okay, I can give you an example from my life because I believe it's the money. It boils down to money and staying in power and being able to have that paycheck and fatten that wallet every month. And I feel money is a demotivator in the first place. And in business, that's something that you learn. Charles Deming once taught that money is a factor of motivating somebody is a demotivator. But for myself, I honestly believe that when they get there, that is the mechanism that corrupts. Now, for myself, I can explain why I don't believe that I'm going to be corrupted.
We'd like to hear that, too.
Okay.
Really?
Back in 2001, right after 9/11, I was running two companies. They were rocket manufacturing companies. We developed rocket motors, and we were in the commercial industry as well as in military industries.
Rockets for what? They're just called a rocket engine?
Yeah, rocketries,
for
you know.
Real rockets?
In space.
Okay.
And weapon systems.
Okay.
So we were developing a brand new system and had never been flown before, and we put it all together and we proved it, the technology. We proved the entire technology, did our own R&D, we took it down to Nevada test site and launched, and we took an unproven technology to 37,000 feet. So we were engaged in a process and putting that into the marketplace. And then 9/11 took place. And they took our certifications away. They wouldn't let us launch because we were a threat, because those rockets could be armed. And we weren't an arm of the military establishment or the military industry.
You just sold to the military.
Yes. And we developed for NASA and other institutions in the government.
Well, what were they afraid you were going to do?
What?
Sell it to the other side?
It doesn't matter. Department of Homeland Security, they put security breaches in place that really stopped a lot of this type of activity from going on. But at that point in time, we were concerned after 9/11, my wife and I especially, because we're very patriotic. And I know that's a practice that a lot of people don't think is a very good quality nowadays, if you know what I mean.
I love
my country, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course.
So we were concerned about 9/11 and what was going to happen as a result of 9/11 in the defense of the country. And we knew some key people in key projects, in government projects, throughout the country that were working on advanced technologies.
Of course you did.
And at one point in time, we contacted DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration, and we knew they were having problems with an intercept program. They couldn't get it to work. They couldn't have kinetic kills. So we incorporated our rocket motor system into their existing technology on their platforms. And
you were allowed to do that?
We were allowed to do that under their direction.
So
we took that technology to them, did this. We allowed them to fly 25 flights. Intercept flights out of Kwajalein. And as those flights came in, we had 25 kills out of 25 launches. We were 100% successful. Because we were so concerned, we didn't want to license the product to the government. We didn't want to be involved with that at all. We gave the technology to them. We could have made millions. My wife and I could have been very well off. But we considered the inherent need to protect the country with ballistic missile defense organization as a prime important subject for us.
Well, making rockets and bombs is but I see your point.
Yes.
Okay, so as a poor little political man working congressional district number 2, what are you going to do that's going to make a difference for us, Tim?
I'm going to be the voice of the people. And I think that's something that's been lost over the course of the last couple generations, if you will. It's been eroded over time. I go out and I speak to people. I like to believe in the Goldwater way. I go out and talk to people. I listen to what they have to say, and I incorporate their ideas. I incorporate their thoughts, and I try to see some similarity in the way I think and the way I would respond to certain situations. I try to use that and mold a response in favor of the representing the people.
Of what we need.
It's important because we're supposed to represent the people.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. What kind of needs do the people tell you about? As a representative, see, I'm just new to all this political jargon and all the different offices and the, I mean, there's so many politicians, I can't even believe it now that I know. What is it that you do? What will you do for us? What kind of things will people tell you they need you to take wherever you're going to take to the other politicians to get done for us?
Okay, let's look at it under a socioeconomic environment.
Make it to the point.
I go to rural areas. Okay. A lot of rural communities are worried about Social Security and Medicaid. Medicare. They're very, very worried about it, that those programs are going to be there in the future for them. And for, you know, if they're coming up to that age, they want to make sure they're there. When we go into metropolitan areas, we talk to a lot of the younger generation, and they're very worried about having educational opportunities. And they're worried about having jobs. And what they're concerned about, that younger generation, is that we have actually shipped all of our jobs overseas, and now they're worried about how are we going to get those jobs to come back here?
Yeah.
And that's one reason why I talk to them, because that worry is a driving force.
Yeah, it's our past and our future.
That's right. That's absolutely right. We haven't learned from the past, but we better start learning from the past. But for myself, I believe what we have to do is we have to cut corporate taxes. However, we have to be very mindful. We cannot penalize companies, American companies that employ Americans that produce American products.
Which is, there's not that many of them, right?
That's right, but we have to start, we have to change it. We have to turn it around, because
That's what we need, is our young people to get involved in that, don't we, Tim?
That's
we
right.
need our young people to start thinking of things they can make and coming up with things and being inventive and finding some ways that we can make some products and ship them out around the world.
Well, look, over the last 120 years, the United States of America has been the most industrious country in the world.
Got a lot of geniuses here.
It's all entrepreneurial spirit that drives it. And what we've done in this country is we've dampened the entrepreneurial spirit.
Boy, that's for sure.
Yeah, we have.
And we're even taking it down to the kids now. We're closing their lemonade stands.
It's because we've all been paycheck junkies all of our lives.
No, we
are all paycheck junkies. We always think someone else is going to pay.
Jay, we're past that.
No. This is the problem. This is a big problem. And that's why the entrepreneurial spirit is going to live now in our children and the next generations, because they see the fault in this. It's corporate America. They're paying your paycheck. You're working for them 8 hours a day. You're not doing a dang thing for yourself except making the money to keep your lights on.
But the international trade thing, that's just a tough issue. I mean,
that is a tough issue.
You want free trade. It's good for everybody. But when Mexico can make a car and ship it up here for free,
cheaper.
But we can't make a car and sell it to Mexico without a tariff on the Mexican end, it's just something
maybe
not right about that.
Is there a way to get together with the world and find out what can be made and switch off and on?
Can't we
just all get along?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Right now, China, they've been engaged in this for over 30 years. It's an economic war.
It is.
And what they've done is they chose to subsidize their industries. And they're very blatant about how
they don't hide a thing, do they?
No, but there's one area in this country that a lot of people totally overlook when it comes to the subsidization issue.
Easy for you
China.
To say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, when it comes to natural resources, in this country, a company has to go out and draw out that natural resource. They pay a huge expense to draw that resource out, not in labor and workforce and overhead, but just in fees that they have to pay the government.
Yeah, right.
Both local, state, and federal. And in China, that fee is zero. How can you compete with that?
Yeah.
They're starting right at the beginning of digging ore out of the ground, because that is one of the industries that CD2 is very, very prominent in, is mining. Just getting that ore out of the ground, they're starting at a deficit.
Yeah.
Then there's that Can I use the word idiot? I mean, is that that idiot from GE that runs GE who keeps building factories in China? Then they steal his technology. Then they cut back what they let him make in China and start making it themselves.
But he's just a bad businessman.
And the president makes him in charge of the commission to solve our unemployment problem. It's almost a joke, isn't it?
It is a joke. And I disagree with you with all due respect that he's a bad businessman. What it is, that's the policy of China. If any American company enters into their country to manufacture a product before it is imported outside of China, it is they have the right to reproduce that product in any way, shape, or form to be marketed anywhere else in the world.
And a good businessman would say that's okay?
No.
You wouldn't think so.
No, it's not. I'm not saying he's...
It's all about money, what you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to use the term that...
that I just used?
Yeah. It's in a very aggressive economic policy that China employs. And that is a policy that we should have stood up for a long time ago and say, no way.
Yep.
And we don't have anybody in Washington that is doing that. They need to be standing up on a desk like this and saying, not on my watch.
Tim, we're going to be watching you.